See what happens, the books by Ramana Maharshi and the translations of the works of Ramana Maharshi by other Mahatmas, when they are not properly unfolded, then it may lead to a lot of confusion. That's why Swami said we'll be careful doing this text. Nothing wrong. And this is a very good text, no doubt about it. But the thing is, we supply words to make it very clear. It can be easily wrongly interpreted and then people may get confused.
Sarvair nidanam jagatohamascha.
Sarvair nidanam jagatohamascha.
Vachah prabhuh kaschidaparashaktih. Vachah prabhuh kaschidaparashaktih. Chitretra lokyam cha vilokita cha.
Chitretra lokyam cha vilokita cha.
Pataprakashopyabhavat saekah. Pataprakashopyabhavat saekah. Nidanam, this word Nidanam. Nidanam means the substratum, the reality. We can say water is the Nidanam with reference to wave and ocean. Because where does the form wave enjoying the name wave exist? Where does the form ocean enjoying the name ocean exist? When you say wave is, ocean is, wave enjoys existence, ocean enjoys existence, and you do perceive, you do experience the wave and ocean. You experience the difference between wave and ocean, one as small, the other as big. You are perceiving, your perception cannot be denied. Your knowledge based on your perception that there is a wave, there is an ocean, and there is difference between the two also cannot be denied, need not be denied. But it is not something unreal. Is unreal, is wave unreal? No. How can you say some wave is unreal? What is unreal? That which does not exist at all is unreal. How can you say something you are perceiving is not real? It's not there at all. You are experiencing it. So your experience, your perception, your experience based on your perception cannot be denied. And when you are forced to go against your perception, no, again, then it is something is very painful. So we don't need, it is not something, it is not non-existent. Wave is not non-existent. Ocean is not non-existent. It is not unreal. It is. But how real it is? Is it? It is not unreal. It is real. If it is real, how real is it? Is it absolutely real or is it relatively real? Is it empirically real, perceptually real, or is it absolutely real? If you ask the question, and we think it is absolutely real. So how, this is what wrong perception, it's called giving over value, isn't it? It is not unreal, but it is not absolutely real. Why? Because we can call something as absolutely real only if it has independent existence. If it has enjoys, if it has substance of its own, substantiality of its own. If we remove the water, then the wave will lose its existence, the ocean will lose its existence, the form, the name will lose their existence, which means they do not enjoy existence of their own. After removing the water, if you ask the question, is there a substance called? The substance is the water, which alone enjoys, which has substantiality. But the wave, there is no substance called wave, there is no substance called ocean. So water is the substance of the substantive wave. Water is the substance of the substantive ocean. And wave and ocean are non-substantial forms and names. Therefore, we can say with reference to wave and ocean, the water is the Nidanam, the substratum, the truth, the reality, and that which with reference to name, wave and ocean, water has independent existence. Therefore, water enjoys existence independently. Without being a wave, without being an ocean, water can exist by itself. Therefore, what we say, water is satyam, real. And what about the wave and the ocean? Wave is not unreal, nor is it absolutely real. It is empirically real. Ocean also is empirically real, relatively real. And the difference between ocean and wave also relatively real. We call what of that is what we say, vyavaharikam satyam. Vyavaharikam satyam. Which means, so the water is the paramarthikam satyam, absolutely real, absolute reality. So what is paramarthikam satyam? That alone is what? Nidanam here. What is vyavaharikam satyam? Empirically real, that is mithya. We don't say unreal, mithya, non-translatable into any language. So what we can say, what is mithya? Then mithya is that which is as though, not having independent existence of its own. Is mithya.
Illusory.
No. Never ever use the word illusory, hallucination and all.
Why not?
Mithya. So, adhya means mithya.
Why is it not illusion?
Mithya. We don't use those words at all because confusing. Mithya means that which is as though. That which is as though, because illusion is different meaning in some other context, that's why. Mithya means that which is as though. That which was not before, that which will not be later on, that which is in the present, it is, it does exist in the present. It does enjoy existence for a length of time. But while enjoying existence also, it does not enjoy existence of its own. Borrowing the existence of something else, it enjoys existence. Therefore, that's why you call it mithya. Understand? Therefore, if you ask the question, where does the wave exist? Where does the ocean exist? What is the locus? Where is it located? We say, we come here and say, water is in the ocean. No. We say, wave is in the water, wave is, ocean is in the water, which means wave and ocean do not exist independently outside of, far from water. Therefore, water is the Nidanam with reference to wave and ocean. Similarly, here with reference to the entire cosmos also, Jagataha Nidanam, the truth, the substratum of this entire cosmos, Jagataha Nidanam, and also Ahamaha Cha. Ahamaha means what now? The individual I, the Jagat, if you look at the Jagat as the object of knowledge, what about the Aham, what about the I, the individual, the truth of, no, the I, the first person singular pronoun used by every individual when everyone refers to one's own self. When you refer to yourself, what is the pronoun you use? I. So what is the pronoun we use when you refer to the Jagat? This universe, isn't it? So Jagat is the object of knowledge, and you Jagat is object of knowledge from the standpoint of you, the experiencer. You are the experiencer, you are the knower, you are the observer, and the Jagat is object of your knowledge. Therefore, Aham means subject of knowledge. I, the subject of knowledge, the experiencer, the knower, and the word Jagat, the object of knowledge. What is the Nidanam of the subject of knowledge, the experiencer, and the object of knowledge, the Jagat, is what? One and the same. Which means the truth of the truth of the individual I and the truth of the Jagat, this, the objective universe, is one and the same. Is what? This is the vision of all the great people. The Sarvaihi. We all, Sarvaihi means by all. See, we have to supply a lot of words now. Sarvaihi means by all. By which all? By who? We have to supply word. What is it here? By all the men of vision, whichever person had the vision of the truth. We don't have many people having vision of the truth and they are different from each other. Whoever has knowledge of physics, for all of them, the law of gravitation is a fact. Isn't it? It's a fact. No, law, it is not, it is different, it is different for people coming from Australia or what? No. For all the people, fact is one and the same. Fact cannot differ from person to person. That's why any fact is not contention, isn't it? Even though fact is a contention, but fact does not differ from person to person. And here this is a fact. What is the fact here? The truth of the wave and the truth of the ocean is one and the same. This is a fact. That's the water. Therefore, the standpoint of the water reality, the wave and ocean difference also is mithya. Wave is mithya. Ocean is mithya. Wave, ocean difference also is mithya. From the standpoint of the truth, the nidanam. Similarly, the standpoint of the reality, the truth, the Brahman, we say, the Jiva, Jagat, Bheda is the individual, the total, also is what now? The difference also is mithya, there is no difference. Relatively, there is difference, absolutely, there is no difference. Vyavaharika Dishtya, there is Bhedaha, Paramarthika Dishtya, there is Abhedaha. There is no Bheda. From the standpoint of the reality. So, Ahamaha means, Ahamaha, Jagataha, Cha means what? And. The truth of the individual, the truth of the Jagat is what? Sir, being one has been very clearly understood by the men of vision. There's no difference. It has been revealed. It has been understood, ascertained. It has been revealed by all the men of vision. The truth of the true individual and the total is one and the same. It is Sarvaihi. Jagataha ahamascha nidanam. And that truth, the truth is what? The truth is the, now he says what? He is going to Jagishwara now. In the first line, he resolves the Jiva Ishwara Bheda, the Jiva Jagat Bheda. Then second line he goes to what? There is no Lord Ishwaraha other than this reality. The reality which is the nidanam, which is the substratum, of the individual and the total, the subject of knowledge, the experiencer, the truth of the subject, the experiencer, the truth of the experienced objective universe is one and the same truth. And that truth is the, in fact, is looked upon as the Lord of the universe also. There is no Lord other than the truth. Isn't it? So that which lends existence to the experiencer and the experienced universe is the Lord of experiencer and the experienced world. There is no Lord other than the truth. Therefore he says, that truth alone is looked upon as the Prabhu. Prabhu means what? Prakarshena Bhati iti Prabhu. The one who shines as everything. The one Prabhati iti Prabhu, Prakrishena Bhati iti Prabhu, that which alone shines as everything is also called what? Prabhu. Prabhu. So Prakrishena Bhati. Prabhu Vachyaha. Which means these three words using this, bringing this word Prabhu has resolved Ishwara also in the same truth. What is the individual Jiva? Who is the individual Jiva? Who is the individual jiva here? Who is the experiencer here? The reality. What is this jagat here? The reality. Who is the Ishvara? Without whose presence the jagat cannot exist at all, the universe, the individual cannot exist at all, nothing can exist at all. That Ishvara, the Lord, all is what? There's no Lord Ishvara other than the truth. That which alone shines as everything that is here is what? It means everything here is manifestation of the reality. Like every wave is appearance of the water. Every form you see, these innumerable countless forms enjoying, indicated by innumerable countless words. Everything here, the known unknown, subtle and gross, everything is manifestations of the reality, appearances of the only reality, only truth. Therefore, when you say, look at the truth as the Lord of everything, you say what now? Prabhu. The reality is what now? It's also Prabhu Vachyaha. Prabhu and Kaschit Apara Shaktihi. Prabhu, the Lord here is of the Apara Shaktihi, means what? The tremendous power, immense power. Apara Shakti means the one who is of the immense power. The reality is what? Immensely powerful is the reality. What is immensely powerful? We already in the very first verse, we understood first two verses, we arrived at the truth. What? The existence of everything is nothing but the consciousness available for recognition in one's own mind as one's own self, as the truth of the knower. I already understood that. Therefore, here the consciousness is the chit, and the power of consciousness is what? Chit Chaktihi. The power, the consciousness and its power, are they separable? That's the thing now. Are they two? The power of consciousness and the consciousness, are they separable? No. How they are not separable? Like the burning power of the fire is inseparable from the fire. Illumining power of the sun is inseparable from the sun. So inseparable. Therefore the power does not exist. The power of illumination does not have existence of its own without the sun. There can't be something called power of illumination without the sun. But the power of illumination is nothing but the sun. Even the sun is not the power of illumination. Similarly here, power of burning, fire is not the power of burning, but the power of burning is the sun. Therefore, the Shakti is something, the Shakti, the power does not have independent existence of its own. It is inseparable from the truth, but at the same time, the truth is not the power. Long ago, I gave the example of water and stillness. The water in the pond, there is a pond full of water, an undisturbed water, therefore there is a stillness of water. The water is and there is stillness of water. And when you go and see, you say there is water and there is stillness of water. You have to see because you are perceiving the stillness. You can't deny your perception of stillness of the water. You are perceiving. What is the stillness? Stillness is there, stillness of the water. Water is, stillness of the water is. Can you separate the still, can you deny the existence of stillness? No. You are experiencing the stillness. Can you separate the stillness from the water? No. So, is water the stillness? No. But is stillness the water? Yes. Therefore, stillness is something inseparable, power of water. When the stillness is disturbed, you have what? Waves or ripples or whatever you have. So what about every ripple then? Every ripple is the modification of the stillness. Stillness alone becomes a ripple. Stillness disturbed is a ripple. Ripple resolved is stillness. Who is disturbed here? Stillness can be disturbed. Ripple can be resolved. But is the water disturbed? No. Is the water resolved? Water is the source of resolution, isn't it? Water cannot be disturbed, nor can the water be resolved. What can be disturbed is what? What is disturbed is the stillness. And what can be resolved is what? Disturbed stillness in the form of ripple can be resolved. Back to stillness. Isn't it? So here, who caused the disturbance? Who caused the disturbance? Isn't it? So if at all there's disturbance, the disturbance can be within only on the part of the stillness alone. Therefore, what we say, that stillness, if you look at it as the power of the water and the inseparable, water is not the stillness is not separate from the water. Similarly, here also, the power of knowing. There is no such a thing called, if you remove the water, can you talk about the stillness afterwards? There is no such a thing called stillness existing independently without the water. There is no such thing called stillness. Where is the stillness? That is why yama sa maya. That which is not independent, that which is not really there by itself is called ma. Isn't it? That is why here, you see, the power of knowing, the power of knowing is what? Jnana Shakti. Which alone gets disturbed, which alone becomes what? The power of desiring, Ichcha Shakti. Which alone becomes the power of activity. So all the three, we can say what? All the three powers, the power of knowing, the power of activity, the power of Ichcha Shakti, desiring, the power of activity, the power of knowing, all the three powers put together is what? Totality of powers. We say the one who is endowed with that power is what? The person of immense power. That's why all might, omnipotence. So the one who is endowed with this, all the powers put together is omnipotence. Who is omnipotent Lord, almighty Lord? There is no almighty Lord endowed with it. No. All the immense power other than the reality. Even the Lord, when you look at the reality as the powerful, you give the status of being the Lord. If you look at the Lord as the almighty, then Lord. All omnipotent, then Ishvara. Status you are attributing to the Lord, the reality. The standpoint of reality, reality is not the Lord. There is no Lord other than reality, omnipotent, almighty, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty Lord. There is no Lord other than the reality, which is yourself, which is your real nature, which means you have to drag, like how the cranky child, baby child, sitting, standing and jumping in front of the toy shop is dragged by the mother when she doesn't have money to buy the toy. Come, we can't get it. You have to drag the essence from the body emotions complex and resolve it in consciousness. Then you can say you are the truth, which other than which there's no Ishvara. So, Prabhu Kaschit Apara Shaktihi. Apara Shaktihi, Prabhu, Apara Shakti means the Lord who is of the immense power, who alone is manifest as everything here. Also, what is everything here? What now? We can say Jagat means three things constitute Jagat. Nama, Rupa, Karma. The definition of Jagat from Bihadaranyaka Upanishad. What is Jagat? Nama, Rupa, Nama, Rupam, Karma. Name, form, function are the purpose. These three things constitute the whole Jagat. Therefore, all the functions, all the actions, all the experiences, all the forms, all the names, all of them which constitute the whole Jagat is here what now? Actually, appearance of the only reality. Then when you look at the reality being appearing as everything, you call the reality as what? Ishvara also, Prabhu, the one who is of immense power. isn't it? All knowledge. Because activity is, all the activities, all the functions can happen, only the knowledge backs up the order. And the knowledge backing up the order involved in all the functions, in all the activities, all that is what? Definitely the reality. Therefore, all knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is the power. Therefore, one who is of the immense power of knowing and omnipotence, we say, is the truth. There's no Lord else other than reality, and which alone shines as everything. One second, let me finish this. Chitre, therefore now he says, Chitre atra lokyam cha vilokita cha pataha prakashaha api abhavat saha ekaha. See, saha ekaha means that Lord alone, literally it was saha ekaha, that one person alone becomes everything. One person becomes everything. Saha ekaha abhavat. That one person alone, only person alone has become everything. Then, contrast we can say, he gives the example of one, it's not very, don't stretch the example. Take the example as an example and leave it here. Okay? Chitram, there is a nice chitram, the picture. There is a chitram. Chitre atra, this chitram, this picture, what is it? Vilokita vilokyam cha. Lokyam means that which is perceptible, objectifiable. Lokyam, the objective universe is called lokyam. The perceptible world of objects is called lokyam. Vilokita means the perceiver. So there's a perceiver and the perceived. All of them are actually what? Actually one and the same. There is no perceiver of the universe other than the truth. There is no perceived universe other than the truth. If you ask, is there a perceiver? Yes, there is a perceiver. Is the perceiver real, absolutely real? Perceiver is an empirical reality, is a temporary status attributed to the reality from the standpoint of the perceived universe. Is this universe absolutely real? No. This universe does not have independent existence of its own. The universe has the status of being existent only if it becomes the known, perceived. For the universe to enjoy the status of being existent, it has to become the perceived. For it to become the perceived, there must be the perceiver. There is no perceiver other than the reality. Therefore, there is no jagat other than the reality. Who is the vilokita? Who is the vilokita? Who is the perceiver? Who is the knower? Who is the experiencer? Every one of you have to say here what? I am the experiencer. I am the knower. You have to say that with reference to the word, I am the experiencer. Because your body is not the experiencer. Body is also one of the objects of experience. Your mind is also one of the objects of experience. All your sense powers are objects of experience. Everything when you negate is objects of experience. You have to finally say, I stand separately here, and that I, the experiencer, am distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, kindergarten lesson we've been talking from day one. Tadrishaveka Prakriya onwards has been said, made very clear. Vedanta Sun, all of them go out with the body. Oh, I'm not the body. It's not to talk about I'm not the body. It's not to say I'm not the body. For us to see the subtleness of the teaching, how definitely in the entire world of objects, includes what? The objective universe, your physical body has to be included as one of the objects of the universe. objective, part of the objective universe. Not only the gross body, even the subtle pranas, even subtle sense powers, even the powers of organs of actions, the physiological functions, every thought you entertain your mind, every thought, every emotion, your anger, your jealousy, your hatred, everything is object of experience. Isn't it? Everything is the witnessed here. So everything object of universe, everything has to be negated as what? As part of the objective universe, and you are distinguishing yourself as what? I the experiencer, I the knower am distinct from the known objective universe, inclusive of my body, mind, sense complex. You don't need to accept because I am saying, somebody else is saying. It does not contradict your reasoning at all. You know, the subject is distinct from the object. It's very clear. Then the question comes, who this knower experiencer is? You know, I the knower am. I am. I know. I am knowing. There's an objective universe, which is the known to me, evident to me. I am the evidence that there is a world here. So, I am means, I the knower am here. I am, I know. But what the knower am I? Who the knower am I? We ask definitely, that is where the next step, we do use avasthatriya prakriya. We analyze very, we just take only the mind avasthatriya. We leave even the, because avasthatriyam, the three states of experience are nothing but three states of mind. The three states of experience implies what? The function of mentation. And how does the mind function? Mind does, even if you drink 10 teas or 10 coffees, still there's a time the mind will fall asleep. Isn't it? Because the mind cannot keep awake unless you have some problem with like somnambulism or something. Okay? Then mind will fall asleep. There is a time mind becomes non-functional. There is a time mind becomes semi-functional. There is a time mind is totally awake, totally functional. That is how mind functions, the function of mentation. And each state of mind is each state of experience. A state of mind is a state of knowledge, a state of experience. So the state of experience also is what is the experienced. Not only the object of experience, okay, even the experience itself is what? Object of experience. And each state of experience presupposes the experiencer. Leave the external world now. Each state of experience presupposes the experiencer. And that experiencer is one and the same. The state of experiences are discontinuous and are mutually exclusive. But what is that? Who is that who is always continuously in all the changing variable states of experiences? Who is there all the time? The experiencer is one and the same. Where everyone can very well say, I the self am the experiencer. There's no doubt at all. But I the experiencer am who? Who am I? That is where we say that the one who obtains as the experiencer is chit, the consciousness. It is the pure consciousness. That is when the question comes, how many experiences are there? How this must become very clear in the Vedanta class. How many experiences are there? Even though my experiences are many, the states of experiences, the experience, the states of experience are three. The states of, you know, the mind, we can say three. But how many minds are there? So many minds are there. So each mind is what? Each mind is a state of experience. Everybody's state of experience, but experience are obtaining in each state of experience in every mind is one and the only experiencer. There are not many experiences at all. That is very clear for you. This is a kindergarten lesson again. Been made very clear for you. And that experiencer is none other than consciousness, chaitanyam. There's no way of recognizing, arriving at, stumbling upon consciousness other than self-enquiry. That is where Ravana Maharshi people are holding on to the one thing. But they cannot connect. Unless the systematic study is there, you cannot connect the, okay, I am consciousness. So what? Then still the Jagat will be a problem for you all the time. It has to, you have to see the vision of non-duality is very important. You have to resolve the Jagat. You have to resolve Ishvara. You have to resolve the individuality in totality. Then you see how you are unafflicted truth. Only then you can be, you can be the comfort. I will be searching for, will be working hard for becoming comfortable. Isn't it? So here, how many nodes are there? The experiencer, there is no experiencer other than I, there is no I other than experiencer, and how many experiences are there? The minds are many. That's why the experiencer also is consciousness, means experiencer, knower, observer. This is only a temporary qualification status attributed to consciousness from the standpoint of the experience, the state of mind. From the standpoint of consciousness, consciousness is not the experiencer. Is it clear? The standpoint of the consciousness is consciousness, the experiencer. You said definitely no. Consciousness is not the experiencer. Okay, experiencing is not the work. There's not a will involved action. Experiencing. Consciousness is, and very swarupam is knowing, illumining. It's just as light, the swarupam of the light is illumining. It is in the presence of the light, any opaque object is there, it is illumined. The absence of the opaque object also is illumined by the light. The presence of the opaque object is illumined by the light. The presence and absence illumined by the light. Because light is not doing the act of illumining. The illumining is very swarupam, the nature of the light. Therefore, illuminator is a temporary qualification attributed to light from the standpoint of the opaque. Similarly, there is no knower experiencer other than consciousness. But consciousness is not the knower experiencer observer, but a temporary qualification status attributed to consciousness from the standpoint of the mind, the state of experience. Is it clear? Therefore, who is the Vilokita? Vilokita is consciousness. What is the Vilokyam then? What about this experienced world of this objective universe? Object of knowledge. The objective experienced universe also is what? Lokyam cha saha ekaha eva. The experienced world also is the same truth only. Why? Because this Jagat, however vast and big and beautiful and nice and enjoyable, and then also this Jagat will be as good as non-existent. The Jagat, it does exist, but it will be as good as non-existent. Okay, for the Jagat to enjoy the status of being existent, Jagataha Astitvam. If the Jagat has to enjoy the status of being existent, it must become the experienced. Jagat should become the known, should become, okay, Jagat should become the known, become the experienced for it to have the status of being existent. The Jagat is not the known, Jagat cannot become the experienced, the Jagat will be as good as non-existent. For it to become the status of, to have the status of being existent, it should become the known. For it to become the known, to become the experienced, there must be experience. Function of mentation must be there. Experience must be there. If the experience is not there, how can there be the experienced universe? And for the experience to be there, there must be the experiencer. Understand? Therefore, Jagat, to enjoy the status of being the existent, for it to become the known, to become the experienced, for it to become the evident, it is very much dependent on, in fact, you can go on saying, the very perception. The perception is possible only if the function of mentation is there. The function of mentation is possible only, the experience is possible only if there is experiencer. And that therefore, it is the existence of the reality consciousness obtaining as the experiencer, because of the presence of which alone experience is possible. The Jagat also can become the experienced. Jagat can enjoy the status of being existent. Therefore, Jagat does not have independent existence outside of you, the experiencer consciousness. That is why every time, even though every day in sleep, Jagat is as good as non-existent for you. Does the Jagat have independent existence? Which means what? It should be always, Jagat is, but for you, does the Jagat exist if you fall asleep? If you fall asleep means what? When the mind is non-functional, all the thoughts are resolved. Aham vritti is resolved. All the thoughts are resolved. There's no mind, the experience. When the experience is not there, is the experiencer? Experiencer consciousness is without the status of being the experiencer, isn't it? Experience is very much there. Therefore, what we say, when the Jagat is there, only then the consciousness also what I enjoy the status of being the experiencer. Consciousness is not dependent on the Jagat for its existence. But Jagat will lose its existence, the status of being existent. Therefore, Jagat also does not exist outside of the experiencer consciousness. Therefore, what is Lokyam? Lokyam also is the truth. Lokita is also the truth. And there is no truth other than consciousness. Therefore, here, Saha Ekaha. Okay, Saha Ekaha. And he says, Chitram, there is a picture drawn on a piece of cloth. And that picture has both, there is one person standing as a perceiver, and there is also something which is being perceived. And he says here, don't stretch the example. Take the example as an example. That's why Swamiji said, sometimes these words have to be used carefully. Swamiji has done it. Now because people do get confused, he stopped doing. But still, because Swamiji did, I heard it, I'm doing it. Okay? No problem. And here, Chitre Atra Vilokita Vilokyam Cha. So in this picture, the perceiver and the perceived, both are actually not outside of the piece of cloth. He's talking about the picture. There's one picture. There is a picture of perceiver, the picture of the perceived some object, and both are what? Basically, either a perceiver of the something outside of this pataha, this mat, cloth, piece of cloth. No, it's inseparable. Either a perceived object outside of the cloth. So we hear backdrop, this cloth, the piece of cloth is the truth of these two pictures. Okay, that's what he says, but that's why I explained separately, differently, without bringing an example here. Pataha Saha Yekaha Pataha Abhavad. That one piece of cloth alone, on which there is a picture of the perceiver, on which there is a perceived objects, all of the one piece of cloth alone has become everything. Understand? Similarly, the light of consciousness. Understand? Is what now? Is there as the experiencer? Is there as the experienced world? And therefore, this difference, this not only this jiva, the first line he resolves the jiva jagat bheda, then later on he resolves the jiva ishvara bheda also. There is no jiva, there is no jagat, there is no ishvara other than the truth. All that is here is only the truth. He, in fact, the very first verse, he resolves this to Vedas. Okay, any author, any Vedant, any philosopher, any philosopher given to any system of philosophy, when they present their view, they use the word tattvam, and definitely they will talk about these threefold things. They will mention Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. The individual, the total, and the Lord. Because they look at Lord as what? The cause of the universe. When you don't know what is the cause of the universe, you say the Lord is the cause of the universe. So the three they talk about, any philosopher should begin this with these threefold differences. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara. They begin their view, they begin presenting their view with these threefold differences. Whereas Vedanta says, resolves all the differences. There is no individual other than the truth, absolutely. There is no Jagat other than the truth, absolutely. There is no Ishvara other than the truth, absolutely. All that is here is only the truth. Only Satyam, Sarvam Brahmaiva, isn't it? And actually, you don't even say Aham, Brahmaiva means what? And then actually, Aham Idam Sarvam. In fact, all that is here is absolutely the Self, one's own Self. Which means, for one to say, I am the whole, one must have cognitively shifted the eye sense carefully from anatma to atma and see one's own real nature, see exactly really what one's self is. And they can say, everything here is the manifestations of the only truth, Bhagavan. Everything is Ishvara, everything is Brahma. That is possible to say. Understand similarly, the only consciousness which is the existence of the universe, which is the existence of the individual, and which is the Lord also, and that consciousness, truth is important here, is there here as everything. Okay, and he resolves this Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Bheda is resolved in the first verse. Okay, every verse you have to see how he is resolving. Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara, Bheda is resolved. That is why this book needs to be studied carefully, okay, in the light of this Swamiji's teaching, Swamiji's unfoldment of, otherwise it may easily misguide you. That is why before you stumble upon something else, I just let me start and do it beforehand. So even if others come and confuse you, you don't need to worry about it.
Arabhyate jiva jagat paratma. Jiva jagat paratma. Tattva vidanena.
Tattva vidanena.
Matam samastam.
Matam samastam.
Idam trayam yavad.
Idam trayam yavad.
Aham matisyat.
Aham matisyat.
Sarvottamaham.
Sarvottamaham.
Sarvottamaham matishunyanishtha.
Sarvottamaham matishunyanishtha.
He says, Sarva Uttama. Sarva Uttama means the exalted of all, the most exalted of all the views is the vision of the fact. Isn't it? Because views are different. Views are different and views are many, and every view refutes the every other view. Therefore, non-refutable is the exalted. The fact is the non-refutable. The fact is exalted of all the views. Therefore, he says, Sarva Uttama. What is it here? Aham Mati Shunya Nishtha. Okay? Having the Ahankara, I sense resolved in reality, and being endowed with the vision that I myself am consciousness, thereby that being endowed with that knowledge is what? Having the mind abiding in the vision of the truth, abiding in the truth. Having one's mind abiding in the vision of the fact, vision of the truth, means being endowed with the knowledge that I am consciousness. Which means wave is water, you have no doubt. Similarly, I the knower am consciousness. This should not be any doubt at all. So this being endowed with this vision is called what? Aham Mati Shunya Nishtha, wherein I sense is resolved for good. The nishtha, the nishtha means here the assimilated, ascertained vision of the fact that I am consciousness, being endowed with the vision of the fact that I am consciousness. In that vision, what is resolved is aham mati is shunya. The nishtha in which the I sense is resolved for good. Shunya means what here? Then resolved I sense, resolved ahankara. Ahankara and the abidance in the vision of the truth is not possible, isn't it? So mind abiding in the vision of the truth implies what? Having the ahankara resolved. And having the ahankara resolved, being endowed with the vision that I myself am consciousness is the exalted fact, exalted vision, because it is non-refutable fact. It is not a refutable contention. It's a non-refutable fact. Okay? And this is, he says, this, when is it possible here? And then he says, all other systems of philosophy, our own dasha darshanani, we saw in Mandukya also very clearly how we have this, the astika darshanani, nastika darshanani, the four branches of Bhautas, the Jainamata, and the Charvaka, and also our own Nyaya Vaisheshika philosophers, all different philosophers, apart from, you can say, any number of philosophers, you know, risen from any part of the world, all of them, all the philosophers. No, he says, no, they all begin their teaching, and begin presenting their views with what? You know, with this, holding on to these threefold differences. Holding on to threefold differences only, they begin their very presenting their teaching. So, arabhyate sarvamatam, any matam, that's why the matam itself is what? Contention. A view. Matam is a view. That is why Hinduism is not a matam, is not a view, it's a way of life. Sanatanaha dharmaha is an eternal way of life, the following which will help you arrive at the truth cognitively. That's why it's way of life. It is not a matam. It will lead you to the vision of the fact. The way of life, if you follow, it should lead you to where? The vision of the fact. It is non-refutable. Whereas it is not a matam, it is not a contention. Understand, even though we use the word matam, matam itself means contention. Matam is a participle of the man dhatu. The word contention, karta. So view. So sarva matam, any religion, so many religious organizations, so many religions in the world, and so many philosophers, so many systems of philosophy, all of them begin their teaching, presenting their views, holding on to these threefold differences. What now? Jiva Jagat Ishvara Veda. So he says, sarvam matam, jiva jagat paratma tattva abhidanena matam samastam. Everything is started, begin, what now? With these threefold differences. Jiva jagat Ishvara, paratma. Then calling their view as what? As tattvam. It is begun. But idam trayam yavat, idam trayam. These threefold, jiva, jagat, ishvara, veda. I am different, I am the experiencer, I am different from the world. World is different from me. This isolation, this separation will be there. Okay? Then what about? There's a Lord who is unknown, who is different from the universe. This jiva jagadishvara bheda will be definitely there as long as ahankara is well nursed and looked after. Okay? As long as ahankara remains, aham matihi yavat As long as Ahankara is well looked after, protected, okay, given nice comfort, stay in the mind, so long will there be these threefold differences. As long as these differences are there, the sense of insecurity, the sense of fear, the sense of isolation will be there, and as a result of which all forms of human misery, afflictions also will be naturally there. Okay, so when can resolve these differences? Physically, we are not going to undo the Jiva Jagat Ishwara Bheda. Physically, they will be there. Relatively, these differences will be there. But absolutely, you can definitely resolve these differences cognitively. How? Only by resolving the Ahankara. And Ahankara resolution is dependent on what? Your perspective change. The perspective change, now you have to see yourself being different from what you are thinking of yourself. And therefore, only through Shravanam, only by attaining, only through self-enquiry with the help of the Shastram, you can arrive at your own real nature. It's not one class, two class, three class, 3 years and 40 years and 50 years. Janma also can continue. So, the repeated Shravanam, that's why Shastram, Sharanam, Gacchami, don't go to anything else. Shastram alone is important. So, go down to Shastram, repeated Shravanam will definitely help you arrive at the vision of the fact. Only the vision of the truth as yourself, the perspective change can happen. You can have the right perception of yourself, in which alone all the wrong notions can resolve, Ahankara can resolve. In resolving the Ahankara, you don't need to do anything. You can see the differences while enjoying, experiencing the differences. You can still be with the unity, vision of unity. Isn't it? That's what? Unity, the diversity. Isn't it? If you can see the diversity, you can experience the differences, but still you can revel in the, you can have the luxury of reveling in the vision of unity, vision of the oneness of the truth. That is possible. That's what he says. Therefore, why? Because that is what Sarva Uttama Ahamati Shunya Nishta. What is the most exalted accomplishment in the world? What is the most exalted accomplishment in the world, if you ask? Abiding in the vision of one's own real nature, thereby having one's Ahankara resolved, is the most exalted accomplishment in the world. There is no greater achievement, accomplishment than remaining, reveling in the vision of one's own real nature, wherein you can resolve the Ahankara. Is it? There's no greater luxury than reveling in the vision of one's own nature. That's why this is the greatest accomplishment. He sarva uttama ahammati shunya nishta. If at all you want to accomplish something great and great and great, you can accomplish anything you want to accomplish. You can contribute for the well-being of society a lot, but nothing should be at the cost of one's own self. Self-negligence is the worst thing. Puja Swamiji always says, never ever neglect yourself. Therefore, self-negligence has to be avoided, which means you have to look after yourself first. Okay, looking after yourself means the greatest accomplishment one can have is that one has recognizing one's own real nature, and then abiding in that vision of that fact, that by having the Ahankara resolved, that is the greatest accomplishment, because there's no greater luxury than reveling in the vision of that fact. Okay? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Guru Namo.